familiar faces. We're thankful to see you here. And for those we don't know, my name is Estevan Montoya, and I'm a pastor at Rio Grande Baptist Church down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we know a lot of people here because we were on staff here for 2 years, about 2.5 years ago. We had left to Albuquerque, but before that, Valley Bible Baptist Church sent our family up to Taos, and we planted a church up there, and were there for 12 years before coming here, and then from here to down to Albuquerque. And but Albuquerque is where I'm from, and I am privileged to pastor the church that I got saved in, baptized in, called to preach in, and served our first year of marriage there, and so forth. And so it's a blessing to be there, and continue to pray for us. We've had the ups and downs of ministry, and you know how that is with ministry, especially when a new pastor comes in. There's sometimes what they call a honeymoon phase, and then after that, things get real and so forth, and we've had a lot to work on. We are privileged to have a property that's almost 4 acres, has a lot of building on it, but a lot of those buildings are built before I was born, and I was born in 1984, and so that shows you how old some of these buildings are, and there's a lot of work that needs done, and so we're just doing things as we can, as the Lord sees fit. But the blessing of a lot of it is just the fact that God has given us a good group of people there. The church was pretty unstable when we got there, and there's nothing of me, it's all the Lord, but when a church doesn't have a pastor, there's a problem, and so the pastor needed to come in, and God brought us in, and we're thankful to be there, and we're just been serving faithfully. We've had some families move because of work and different things like that, and so at one point we were, and attendance-wise, we're averaging between 70 and 80 people, but now we're in the 60s or so. We've gone down a little bit. Pray for us. We don't have any kind of youth group at all. The only youth that's there are my daughters. And so we want to engage our younger people and so forth. We're praying about that. But God is blessed in our missions program. That's one of the big things when I got there. And, the missionaries weren't getting paid, and there was inconsistency. And I can go on and on of how things were when I got there, but that was my first agenda out of everything. Let's get this in order. And now we're supporting 15 missionaries as a church. We support them at $50 a month, but we have money set aside in our missions budget so that whenever there's a need, some kind of project, somebody gets sick on the mission field, we could send them money as well. And so that was our priority. And I believe because of that, God blessed otherwise, because now I don't have to work like I used to have to anymore. The church is taking care of us that way as well. And so that's a blessing there. So we're thankful for this place. You guys sent us out to Taos. You sent us out to Albuquerque. And whenever I come up here, I miss it. And so I told my wife, I can't go north because then I don't want to be in Albuquerque. And I said, I want to be up north. I love the north, but I know God has called us there. And as soon as I start driving back, I know, you know, God has put my heart there in Albuquerque. And I miss the northern. I miss the mountains. I miss the people. I miss the small towns and everything else. It's just a blessing. And I was able to go hunt. And Brother Jason and Brother Armando came and helped us on that hunt. And it was a day and a half of hunting, but it was a full day and a half of hunting there. We had a great time, and so that was a blessing. And so let's go and take our Bibles this morning. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. John, chapter number 1. And the title of the message today is Who Jesus Is. Not who is Jesus, but who Jesus is. The Bible clearly tells us who he is. And I hope and pray this is an encouragement to you as we look to the Word of God this morning, that God would bless and empower. And if you're visiting today and you don't know Pastor McMath, I'd encourage you to come back here. Well, come back next week as well for service, but come back whenever he's here because he's in Cambodia. And to hear Pastor McMath, he is a man of God that loves the Lord and loves people, and so does his wife. And you'd be encouraged and challenged by his preaching. But John chapter 1 this morning, beginning in verse number 35. John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked by, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the disciples heard him speak." They heard John the Baptist speak. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And let's go ahead and pray this morning. Father, as we come to you, Lord, I thank you, God, for life today, and I thank you for the blessings you give to us. I thank you for Valley Bible Baptist Church, and God, the faithfulness of your people through the years. God, it's so encouraging to come back home and to see so many familiar faces, so many welcoming people, and God, I pray that you would bless Pastor and Mrs. McMath as they are out. Keep them safe, Lord. We pray that you'd continue to protect them as they're out. We thank you that they arrive safely. God, we pray for when they come back that you'd keep them safe as well, they get home safely, and God, that you'd continue to bless them. But while they're out there, God, I do pray that you would refresh them. God, I know it's a mission trip and they're going to the mission field, but God, I pray that you would give them a time of relaxation while they're there, and God, revive their spirit. Lord, I know they're in the battle day in and day out here. God, I pray that they'd come back charged up, and so we pray that your hand would be upon them. God, bless this time of preaching now, we pray, we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we read the Gospel of John, it's one of my favorite books, or one of my favorite of the Gospels, particularly because it deals with a lot of who Jesus is. Now, obviously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they talk a lot about what Jesus did, and you read a lot of that even in the Gospel of John, but you find more about who Jesus is in the Gospel of John than in the other Gospels. And so when you read this first chapter, it's a very long chapter. It's 51 verses, and there are 21 chapters. I would encourage anybody here who wants to learn more about Jesus to go through the Gospel of John the way a person would go through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters, and the longest months have 31 days. You could read one proverb a day based upon the date. Well, you could read the Gospel of John in 21 days or in 3 weeks, and it's an encouragement, but some of the chapters are long. Some of them are over 60 verses long, but there's a lot in them. And when you read the Gospel of John, you find here these first two chapters are dealing really with the announcement as to who Jesus is. And then you go from chapter 3 to chapter 6, and it deals with a little bit more of a personal relationship with Christ. And you see the woman at the well. You see, they come to the religious man comes to Jesus, and he wants to learn more about it, and Jesus tells him he must be born again. You find later on Jesus dealing with people one-on-one, but then you find more of a public ministry of Christ, and you see him raising Lazarus from the dead, and then you see a private ministry of Christ the night before he was crucified, and he's one-on-one with his disciples, and then ultimately the redemptive work of Christ in the Gospel of John. When we read here in John 1, we find there are three main figures. You find John the Baptist, which is not John the Apostle, who wrote the Gospel of John. John the Baptist, John the Apostle, two different people. I like John the Baptist. I like his last name, amen? And so I like John the Baptist. But then you have John the Apostle, and he wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. He's a predominant figure, John the Baptist. Another predominant figure in the beginning of this Gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen? This book's all about him. But then you find the disciples, and we read a little bit about them here in this portion of Scripture, verses 35 down through the end of the chapter. John the Baptist, the Bible says, was a man sent from God, and he came to bear witness of Jesus. And so as we're looking at all this, I'm just building up some thoughts here. John the Baptist was a witness of Christ. He came to bear witness of the true light, which lighteth all men that come into the world. But there are other witnesses of Christ in this book. John the Apostle was a witness of Christ. That's what this whole book is about. You find later on, the disciples were witnesses of Christ, and they would go out and tell others of who Jesus is. But then you find some divine witnesses of Christ, more than just men. You find when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the river, in deep water, you find that the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You find the witness of the Father upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you also look and you see the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus like a dove. And you find the witness of the Spirit, because the Spirit descended upon Jesus and stayed upon Jesus. And so you see here, all of this is building up to point people to Jesus. Amen? I like what the Bible says about John the Baptist in verse number 37. It says this, "And the two disciples heard him," John the Baptist, "speak, and they followed Jesus." Understand this here today, that we're to point people to Christ, amen? If they hear us, the result should be this, that they are following Jesus. If they hear us, they follow Jesus. And so you see that in this passage of Scripture. They heard John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a great man. Jesus said that there wasn't a man born among women greater than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist's testimony was this: he must increase and I must decrease. And he pointed people to Jesus. That was the end result of the ministry of John the Baptist, is he would point people to Jesus. John the Apostle pointed people to Jesus. Matthew, another of the apostles, pointed people to Jesus. Mark and Luke, they pointed people to Jesus. The Apostle Paul pointed people to Jesus. I think you get the point here. They heard these men, but they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. And so that's the witnesses you see in this passage of Scripture. John the Baptist, you see the apostles, or the disciples, you see the Spirit of God, you see the Father, all confirming the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. Let me say this: as much as I love Valley Bible Baptist Church, and as much as I love the institution of the local church, as much as I love Rio Grande Baptist Church down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as much as I love all of that, at the end of the day, it's still all about Jesus. Amen. The pastor that I was saved under, he had a pin on his shirt, on his coat, or that he would wear on his suit. And he got that pin because there was a time whenever there was a prominent independent Baptist preacher and there was some scandals going on, and all these people were wearing these pins that said 100% and then the preacher's name. And they called the pastor and they asked him if he'd wear those pins. And he says, "I'm not even 100% Gerald Wood. Hey man, why would I be 100% this other pastor?" And so he ended up having a pin made, and it said this: 100% Jesus. Amen, is what it said. And he'd wear that everywhere he'd go. And I like that. It's all about Jesus. So when we read this, and we see the confirmation of John, we see the announcement of Christ to the disciples, we see the Father giving a seal of approval, we see the Spirit of God descending upon him and staying on him. Who is this Jesus? What's so important about him? Why is there such a fuss? And let me just say this here. Even our modern dating, B.C., and A.D. goes back to Christ, and people are trying to change that now and say, well, before the Common Era, but you can't stop the fact that it's talking about before Christ. Our calendar is based upon that, and we look, and our world has been shaped, and there's so much that's to be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. So who is he? And what's the purpose of him? Why did he come? And I hope this will encourage us in our faith in Christ. Because understand this here today, we live in a day and age of scoffers. America isn't what it used to be. There's a man in our church that he's in the hospital over the weekend, and he was witnessing to a doctor, and the doctor had heard the name Jesus, but never had anyone ever explain exactly who Jesus is. Born and raised in America, didn't have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. And so this is vitally important, because there is an attack on the Lord. There is an attack on who he is. He's not just somebody else. He's not just a religious leader. He is divine. He is the Son of God. And so we see here Jesus in this passage. And so we're going to look and see just a few thoughts about who Jesus is and then what our response should be. So you look there at verse John chapter 1 and look at verse number 36. John chapter 1 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked by, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. You go further down to verse number 29, and as the people are questioning John, John is giving glory to Jesus, and he's pointing people to Christ. Verse number 29, the Bible says, "And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When we see this announcement of Christ in this section, the first thing we see is that Jesus is our Lamb. Now, in the beginning verses, we see that he is light, he is life, he is creator, and so forth. He is the true light that lighteth all men that come into the world. But now as John the Baptist is announcing him, when he first sees Jesus, he announces him and calls him the Lamb of God. And not just any Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came and he bore my sin. He carried my sin. He died on the cross for me, and he died on the cross for you. And when you look at who John the Baptist was, John the Baptist was a Levite. We talked about this in Sunday school. He was a Levite. His father had been a priest and served in the temple. And yet you find John the Baptist isn't in the temple. John the Baptist isn't performing those duties. You find John the Baptist out in the wilderness. Amen. He's out there eating locusts and wild honey. And he's a brawny man. He's out there living. And he comes out, and his announcement as the voice of God to come in and preach the word of God is this: "Behold the Lamb of God." Why is that significant? Well, Levites performed sacrifices. Levites offered up offerings. But he knew that there was a lamb coming, and they would never need another lamb after that. He knew that all that happened in the Old Testament, all those sacrifices were pointing toward Christ. And so that need of a sacrifice wasn't there anymore. Why? Because Jesus had come, and Jesus was our lamb, and Jesus would take our place, and Jesus would die on the cross and shed his blood and raise from the dead. And so we no longer need that Old Testament way of doing things, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that would take away the sin of the world. It's enough to make a Presbyterian shout, amen. Jesus, amen, came and died for us, our Lamb. No other Lamb needed. No other Lamb needed. No other sacrifice needed. All the blood that was shed, all it would do would atone for the sin. But Jesus Christ came and he took away the sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He came to not just to forgive, not just to cleanse. Let me say this. He came to redeem us from our sin, to pay the penalty. One Lamb who did so much for us, the Lamb of God. Now go in verse number 41, and as they're talking to Jesus, it says in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted is the Christ. Messiah is the New Testament word for the Old Testament word of Messiah. We translate that, and it's also the word Christ. Simply put, that word means anointed. Anointed. The anointed one. He is the Holy One of God, the anointed one. And we understand when Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist, when he came out of the waters, that the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And there was an anointing, and the Spirit of God stayed on Jesus. And that's what that anointing is. You think about this for just a moment, you find what the Bible calls the Godhead in this very instance. You say, what's the Godhead? Well, the world calls it Trinity. The Bible says Godhead. You find the Father, you find the Son, and you find the Holy Ghost all in this section. And you find the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a big deal. Say, why is that? Well, Jesus is up performing miracles one day, and they said, "You're casting out devils by the prince of devils." And he says, no. The power that I have, it's not by the prince of devils. You better be careful, because you're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. The power that he had came from the Holy Ghost of God. He was anointed of God. And you see that anointing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. No one has ever been as anointed as the Lord, nor will they ever be. God was all over the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. You see the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that anointing upon Christ. No one had that kind of anointing. I look at that and I see that anointing. That's a stamp of approval. This is the Son of God. He's divine. No one else has this type of anointing. You go further down and you look at verse number 38. Verse number 38. It says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi." That is to say, being interpreted, Master. Where dwellest thou? Rabbi, Master. You go further down to verse number 49. It talks about Nathanael. And it says, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi. Rabbi. There's that word rabbi again. And that word rabbi, as it says by interpretation, is master. During biblical times, they would often have people who were trained in the word of God and so forth, and they would be a teacher, a master, and there would be someone under that would come up and eventually take that place. That's how things kind of transferred from one generation to the next generation. And you look at here, Jesus, you don't find him under anybody. You don't find him in somebody's school of training, somebody's school of thought. Yet when they see him, they call him rabbi. And then when he gets up and preaches and teaches, they said this of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees, that they were astonished at his doctrine. And you consider that thought even from a 12-year-old boy, whenever they left him at the temple and he's there with the doctors of the law, and they are astonished at the words of Christ as he's teaching grown men the things of God. Rabbi, master. We look at this, a master, a rabbi, they taught things. They taught things. And understand that today we live in a society where people say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth, and there's no such thing as absolute truth and so forth. Let me say this, so there is absolute truth. Amen. We have the Word of God. The Bible is the final authority of God. We understand that, but we understand on another level, Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And everything he spoke was truth. Everything he spoke was right. And you see them coming to him, submitting to him as a master, as a teacher, a divine one. He didn't have an earthly teacher. I believe his father had taught him. I believe, as you look at this, you see here that the Spirit of God anointed him. He was led of the Spirit. He is divine. He is the Godhead. We see that. He is master. There's no other master like him. No other teacher like him. No other rabbi like him. Amen. There's no other lamb like him. There's not another Messiah that's out there. But then you continue reading in verse number 49. It says, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. So we see who Jesus is. He's Lamb of God. He's Messiah. He's Rabbi. He's Son of God. Now I understand when we get saved, we become a child of God. But there's a distinction between being born again, a child of God, versus the only begotten Son of God. He's the only begotten. Let me just also say this. That means Jesus and the devil aren't brothers. He's not. He's the Son of God. And when you think of this Son of God, we understand there's authority that comes with that. We understand there's power that comes with that. We understand there's divinity that comes with that title. But the Son of God was given for the sins of mankind. To pay for our sins. To die for our sins. Now, I wouldn't want to give my kids over to somebody who hated me. But God gave his Son over to us who were against him, who were in sin, who were sinners by nature, sinners by choice, rebellious against God himself in every way possible. And yet, as we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his Son for us. But then it says there, thou art the King of Israel. There's so many titles given to Christ here. It's amazing. When you look at this passage and you think of the King, remember when Jesus was born and the wise men came seeking him and they went to the palace. Because where do you expect a king to be? But at a palace. And when the wise men came asking of the Lord, they said this, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, to become a king, you get it two ways. One, you inherit the throne, or two, you overthrow a throne. Bottom line, that's the way you become a king. But this man, Jesus, was born king of the Jews. And they worshipped him, and they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. When he died on the cross, the Bible says there was this inscription written, Jesus, King of the Jews. That was the inscription. And you find that whenever they would go out and preach the gospel in the book of Acts, that they would rally up some of those men saying that there is another king, Jesus. That they were preaching the authority, the lordship of Christ. He is king. He is Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. When he comes back again, the Bible says this, that he's going to come back on a white horse, and he's going to wear many crowns, and there's going to be this inscription written on him, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That's who Jesus is. Amen. He starts off as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. We find him as our teacher. We find him as our anointed one. We find him as the Son of God, and we see him as king. That's who Jesus is. There's many rulers in this world. There's many people in this world, but there's one final authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We know who he is according to these scriptures, but let me ask us this. Have we submitted to him as such? If you're here today and you're not saved, he can save you from your sins. You can be washed. He's that lamb that would save you from your sins and the penalty of sin, the lake of fire. You can be saved. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. And I'm thankful for that power that he gives through his spirit. And I understand we're not charismatic here, but I do believe that there is power from the Holy Ghost of God, that God can use us and God can empower us. We understand that. He is rabbi, he is teacher, he is master, he is truth. And we come to him and learn the truths of the Word of God. If this world is trying to confuse you and trying to tell you to go this direction and that direction, just know he is. Is truth. There is no other truth beside the Lord Jesus Christ. He's rabbi, master, and then we see he's the Son of God. Comes directly from the Godhead, and we see here, when it's all said and done, he is king. So what's our response? We look at verse 37. Again, it says this, and the two disciples heard him speak. They followed Jesus. Are you a follower of Christ today? Do you follow him and his ways? Verse 43, as the disciples are telling that they found the Messiah, verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Two simple words, but yet two very hard words. It takes true grit to follow Christ. It takes commitment. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Do you follow the Lord? Do you follow the Lord? Our other response should be this. Tell others. Amen. Go to verse number 40 again. It says, one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. So he believed Christ and followed him, and he went and found his brother. And you go to verse 42, it says, and he brought him to Jesus. Hey man, he's trying to tell others about the Lord. In verse 43, the day following, Jesus go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And it says, verse 45, and Philip findeth Nathanael. Hey man, and what are they doing? They're telling others, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And you see here that they're telling others of Christ. If we believe he is the Messiah, if we believe he is the Lamb of God, we believe he is rabbi, we believe he is the Son of God, we believe he is King of kings, our response should be to follow him and to tell others. Jesus Christ said the statement of the Gospel of John, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Followers will be fishers. Followers will be fishers. Now here's the thing. I love to fish. Everyone always asks me, have you been fishing? You've been fishing? Every time I come, you guys been fishing? Not as much as I used to. There's not a lot of good fishing down in Albuquerque. I don't want to fish for catfish and bass. I like trout. I mean, I like fly fishing. I don't want to fish off in the ditches and find a body there or something like that. I mean, that's just how it is. Amen. And so, but here's the thing about fishing. True fishermen will fish as much as they can. As much as they can. They're always ready to fish. Here's the thing, I've gone up fishing in some of the coldest weather. It hasn't stopped me. I've gone through pain to fish. I've fallen in water and kept on fishing. I've been in the San Juan, one of the coldest rivers I've ever been in. I got water down my waders. My bones were hurting. I'm still out there throwing my line. I mean, I fish. I went up to the Rio Grande by Pilar to fish up there and breaking ice, going in there. You don't stop a fisherman from fishing. And here's the thing, do I always catch a fish? I wish I could say yes, amen, but it's not always the case. I'm behind the pulpit, I got to tell the truth. Sometimes I get skunked, amen. Now here's the thing. Just because I got skunked, does that stop me from going again? No, no. That's what happens when you're a fisherman. Now here's the thing. We're to be fishers of men. Apply that same logic. Apply that same logic. You know, you can go to I could take you to a place in the San Juan where the fish come right up to your feet, and they'll look at you. And they'll go all around, and then you throw your hook, and they'll swim right up to your hook and turn their head away like you offended them. I mean, it's like, good night. And there's just a whole school of them, 20-inch plus, big old rainbows and big old browns. Here's the thing about it. You just keep throwing that hook. Keep throwing that hook. Keep putting the line, and eventually you're going to catch something. And here you apply that same logic with winning souls and spreading the gospel. Just keep on throwing that hook. Keep on throwing that hook. Keep on sharing the gospel. Keep on being a witness. Keep on pointing people to Christ so that when they hear you, the goal is that they would follow him. Amen. They would follow Jesus. Why? Because he is worthy of it. He's our Savior. He's the Lamb of God. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's coming again. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and our job, as long as God has us on this green earth, is to tell others about him. So are we following him? Are we telling others? I must end with this last thought. Are we believing him for greater works? You go further down, verse 49, it says, and Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There's some great works that Jesus did in his ministry. But he says, thou shalt see greater things than these. Later on, Jesus told his apostles that there'll be greater works to be done. And when we look at this and we see, I see the passage, I understand the days are dark. I understand things are happening all over this world and we can get on this hobby horse and be afraid and hold on to our beans and bullets and band-aids and that kind of stuff. Or we can say, you know what, I want to tell others about him. And I believe God is going to use me. I believe God's going to use his word. I want to try to spread the gospel until I hear that trumpet blow. I'm just believing God for greater works. I want to see God do a work. I'm still praying for revival in New Mexico. I've talked about it for the last 15 years that we've been in ministry, that God will send revival, that he will send it in New Mexico. I'm still believing God for greater works. Why? Because we have a lamb that needs to be preached. We have a state that needs to hear the gospel. We have a region about us that's lost in religion and all sorts of crazy things. We have the truth. We have the Lamb of God. We have his message. Do we believe God can use us? Are we doing our part to let him use us? Let's give Jesus the glory due his name. Let's tell others about him. Let's follow him and let's believe him to do greater works than what we've seen. And so with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you, Lord, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for what we see in it. And God, we want to glorify you today. God, you are the Messiah. God, you are the Lamb of God. You are the Rabbi, Master, Teacher. You are King in Israel. You are the Son of God. And you say, follow me. God, we want to follow you today. You say, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Let's tell others about you. And God, give us the courage and faith to be bold. And God, encourage us to believe you for greater things We love you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, go ahead and stand to your feet. And as you stand to your feet, this altar is open. Would you come this morning and ask God to help you? Would you come this morning and ask God to use you? Maybe you're a little confused about who Jesus is. Won't you?